when you hear this.
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I want to read to you from Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May 31st. Tuesday, May 31st. This is a special, special day for me because it is my wife's birthday, and this is a very important birthday.
Isn't that right? It's a ginormous birthday.
It's number 60.
60, which is really the new 40, is what I'm choosing to view it as.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Yes.
You look great, and you feel good?
I do feel good.
So yesterday we had a good walk together. And
I was thinking about that this morning because when you wake up, because you were a jock, you know, in high school, basketball, all of that, you wake up, you have all these aches and pains.
Everything hurts.
Yeah, everything hurts. And I have always said, nerds age better. And because I was just some big nerd all throughout junior high and high school, didn't do sports, really didn't do any of that kind of stuff, I wake up, I feel great. I don't have any aches and pains.
Yes, and yeah. You did hurt your knee and you got that fixed.
I did. I don't even know how I hurt it, but I did hurt it. But that's all repaired. All is good.
Our good friend, Dr. Trey Mitchell, did a great job on Debbie's knee, scoping her knee. So we want to talk today about things that you have learned in your life, 60 years on the earth.
And let me just say here, it's like you're quickly following me, right? Okay, because you're 25 days behind me.
I'm a young
in this monumental birthday.
A young, svelte 59-year-old.
That's right. Enjoy it.
And so I have. I did marry an older woman.
That's right.
And so, Debbie, the scripture says Psalm 90, verse 12, the Psalm of Moses. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You only have so much time. I only have so much time on this earth. And so the Bible says, hey, take heed and take inventory of the time that you have. You know, your life is made up of time. Sometimes you talk about wasting time or killing time. Killing time and wasting time is committing suicide by degrees, because your life is made up of time. And the Bible says don't do that. Redeem the time, buy back the time. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to you, God, a heart of wisdom. And so, Debbie, things that you've learned in these 60 years, we've been through a lot. You've been through a lot.
We have, yes.
Like most people, go through ups and downs and difficult times and passing of parents and the loss of loved ones. And so we just want to take this this opportunity to kind of talk through stuff that you have learned in your 60 years on this earth. And just to give you a little background, so Debbie and I got married in 1986, and her dad was a pastor, and so she grew up in a pastor's home. God called me to preach in 1995. I was selling chemicals for Nalco Chemical Company, and then the Lord clearly called me. And when God called me to preach, I came home to tell Debbie, Debbie, the Lord has called me to preach. And Debbie, your response was?
That wasn't the Lord's voice. That was the devil's voice that you heard.
And why were you so against going in the ministry?
I just had grown up with an inside look of what ministry was, and ministry's hard. And it's hard on a family. My dad was never home, and even when he was home, he was not engaged in our in the life of my mom and me very much. He was always kind of distracted, studying, doing all different kinds of things. And so it gave to me a very warped perspective of what ministry life looked like. And I say warped, and by that I mean out of balance, not warped that I was an anomaly, because that, if we're not careful in ministry, that can be everybody's story. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult for me because of that. And when I started dating, particularly when I started dating in college, if I thought someone was even remotely interested in ministry, I just didn't go out with them anymore, because mm-hmm. I just didn't want anything to do. Now, I wanted a Christian home. I wanted to have a Christian family. I wanted all of that. I just didn't want my spouse to have that be his career, so that everything was so intermingled. There was no separation. I wanted church life. I wanted family life. I wanted work life, you know, for my spouse. And so when you came home and said that, it completely shattered this perfect picture of what I thought our lives were, because I thought, oh, no.
Right.
You know, but through a lengthy process of just committing myself to praying and studying God's word on it, I knew that was what God had placed on your heart. And as a result of me following you where you went, that's what I was going to do. Little did I know that eventually God would change my heart to the point where I would be joining you in ministry. It wouldn't just be that I was supporting you as a wife, but that I would be joining you side by side doing ministry with you.
So what have you learned about ministry as you look back? We've been in ministry now for about... we went to seminary in 1996, so mm-hmm. pretty much from 96 until
right.
today. What have you learned during this time that was maybe a revelation to you?
Well, one of the primary things I've learned is that ministry can indeed be balanced. You can have a ministry home that is a balanced home, where you keep your priorities straight, meaning your vertical relationship with the Lord is the most important thing. Then come your horizontal relationships, your family, your kids, your spouse. After that comes your job. And so you have really modeled that in our family. And I've learned that can happen. And that's the way, that balance there and keeping those priorities straight is of significant importance, not just for ministry families, but for anybody, that you keep your relationship with the Lord number one. In terms of your horizontal relationships, your spouse is the most important thing, then your family, then your friends. And third in line is your job. Mm-hmm. Third in line is your job. And in ministry, it can get easy to confuse those, because God and your job are so intertwined.
Right.
But I have learned through the course of these years that we've been in ministry that it's possible to keep those in the right order.
Right. I love what Adrian Rogers used to say. I was at a conference that he did in 2003, and he said, "The church is the Lord Jesus Christ's bride, not mine. My bride is at home, and I need to be to love my wife as Christ loved the church." And I think with a lot of pastors, it's exactly what you said. You can confuse your relationship with God and your relationship with the church like that's one.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that becomes the most important thing. What you do at church becomes the most important thing that you do, and your wife takes a back seat and your children take a back seat. No different than a guy that has a job out in corporate America.
Right, a workaholic. Mm-hmm.
Right. He just, hey, I'm providing for my family. Or a guy that starts his own business. Starting your own business can be all-consuming if you're not
sure.
careful. And so we have to have those priorities where I'm seeking the Lord, number one. And number two, I'm loving my wife and I'm there for my kids, because I tell people this all the time. I've been at First Baptist Texarkana for almost 20 years. It'll be 20 years in February. If I drop dead tomorrow, the church doesn't shut down.
Right.
The church gets another.
You get replaced.
You get replaced, and they keep going. But your family doesn't keep going. know, in a sense they do, but that's like, okay, there's a huge hole here that is not going to be filled, because dad is critical and my husband is critical. And so we need to make that the priority relationship right behind our relationship with Jesus.
I think another thing in terms of ministry that I have learned is that it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no to something. If God has not laid that on your heart, it's okay to say no to it. And I remember vividly when we were interviewing with the Pastor Search Committee here at First Baptist all those years ago, for sure close to 20 years ago when we were interviewing with them, they had told us, what we kind of expect from you as the pastor, yada, yada. And towards the end of one of the meetings, one of the ladies said to me, she said, okay, we've told you so much about what we expect of you. What do you expect from us as a church? And just instantly I started talking. And so that I knew that it was the Holy Spirit that had given me the answer, because my response was, I expect you to let me be myself. And if I feel a ministry has been laid upon my heart to do, I will do it. But I'm not going to do it out of obligation or out of guilt or out of pressure or out of any of those things. I'm not going to do that, because my family comes first and my kids come first. And so I learned early on how to say no. And like that Lisa Turkhurst book, your best yes. You say yes to the best things. You say no to those lesser things so that you can focus good, better, best. You know, there's a lot of good things in ministry you can do. There's right. a lot of great things in ministry you can do. But God calls you to do the best. And so you can't be the best at everything. You have to be able to prioritize. You have to be able to feel the freedom to say no and to realize I'm not going to please everybody in saying no and right. be okay with that. And I feel that that is a huge lesson that I've learned in the course of these years of being in ministry.
You know, what's kind of cool, the Christian life really boils down to, I hear what the Lord wants me to do and I do it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And so to hear his voice and to do what he says, that's the Christian life. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, Colossians 2:6. We receive Christ by faith, and we walk with him by faith. And when people ask you to do things, hey, will you do this? Will you do that? Will you do the other? They can be good things, but it boils down to, I need to pray about this. I need to see if this is something God wants me to do. And then when you pray about it, if the Lord doesn't give you the green light, you can say without any kind of fear or trepidation, God's not leading me to do that. It's a great thing that you asked me to do. I'm honored that you'd ask me, but the Lord's not leading me to do that, so I have to say no. And then you just put the burden on the Lord. It's, I have to do what he tells me to do.
Well, and God gives each of us different passions for different things. And you have to do what God calls you to do with your passions and with your giftings. And, you may think, I remember a prime example of that is they asked me early on to do Vacation Bible School. And so they said, could you pray about doing Vacation Bible School? I said, oh, no, I don't need to pray about that. No, I'm not going to do that. Because little children in a small group like that, that's not my thing. Now, high school kids, junior high kids love it. But small children, that's just not in my bag of tricks. And so it's like, hey, I can help with VBS doing other things. I can help with administrative things. But I'm not going to be in a classroom like that for hours for a whole week. I mean, that's just not in my bag of tricks.
Right.
And so just knowing enough about myself and then having enough confidence in myself and in what I knew the Lord had gifted me to do to say, no, that is not something that God has called me to do.
Right. And to be confident in that, I had a guy tell me early on in my ministry here, he's like, you know what you need to do? You need to get out and go on a construction mission trip and build a house for these missionaries. I was like, that would be the worst use of my time. I'm terrible at that.
Hey, you fixed a doorknob this weekend.
Let's
not negate that.
That's true. But I just told him, I said, that would be terrible. because I would be frustrated. It's not how God wired me. That's not using my gifts and talents to the greatest effect. And so that's what you think I need to do.
Right.
But you're not my Holy Spirit. I answer to God, and so I need to seek the Lord and find out, Lord, what do you want me to do? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm talking to my wife, Debbie. It is her birthday today, number 60, and we're talking about the things that she has learned in life, in ministry, in parenting, in marriage, in friendships. Don't go away. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today, because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
A crossing over ceremony was held at a church in Winnipeg, Canada. One of their members, Betty Sanguin, suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease and wanted to end her life at the church. They placed her in a recliner in the sanctuary, and friends came and went as they said goodbye. At one point, they gave her the lethal injection, and an hour later, Betty was dead. The pastor said facilitating her death was perfectly natural. I disagree. God's the only one who has authority over life. I can understand Betty's desire to leave her diseased body, but the Lord has a purpose for everything in our lives, including illness. They can't justify killing another person. It's a violation of God's commandment. It's even more tragic they did it in the name of religion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, today is a special day because it's my wife Debbie's 60th birthday.
I say it's your birthday.
And we were wanting to talk today just about things that she has learned over her 60 years on the earth. I'm just a young pup at 59, and so she has things that the Lord has taught her as she's walked with God for many, many years. The scripture says in Ephesians 5:15, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Life is made up of time, and we are to make the most of it. Not waste it, not squander it, but make the most of it, for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when we stand before Him as believers at the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema judgment, we're able to present to Him a life that is honoring and pleasing and glorifying to Him. That's building with gold and silver and precious stone, not wood, hay, and straw that are consumed in the test of fire. So, Debbie, as we were talking about ministry, you said something to me at the break that I thought was really, really important.
Well, I hope I'm going to be able to word this to where it makes sense, but one of the primary things I feel that I've learned over the course of these years in ministry has been the need to make sure that I separate church people and my relationship with church people to not project that onto God. Meaning, when there is a disagreement in the church, when there's disunity in the church, when as the leaders in the church we're being attacked by different people, or people aren't in agreement with us, or we're being talked about, you know, at people's dinner tables because they don't agree with something maybe that you've done,
sure,
to not let that affect my relationship with the Lord and how I'm viewing His house and how I'm viewing my worship time with Him in that house, to be able to separate those two things. Because all too often, I think it's human nature to see believers be acting in unbelieving ways, and you can project that onto how you view the Lord. Like, well, if this is how Christianity is, I don't want anything to do with that.
Right.
You know, and if this is how God is with His, quote, chosen ones that are following after Him and in ministry and in full-time work and business, if this is how they're being treated, well, then this must be a real reflection of what God's like.
Right.
And to just learn how to process that out, that people are people. People are going to hurt you. People are going to disappoint you. People are going to abandon you. People are going to stab you in the back at times. They are going to do all those things. Why? Because we're all selfish and we live in a fallen world and we're all sinners. That's why that's going to happen. And to be able to just really separate that out and to not project that kind of emotion and that feeling onto my relationship with the Lord, to keep that separate, because that's where my strength comes from. My strength and my sense of purpose, my foundation, my rock, my thing that makes my life steady, that comes from a faithful God who is never changing.
Right.
And to keep that in priority.
Well, you hear all the time about people that maybe had a bad situation at church with a deacon or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or just somebody in general that hurt their feelings, and I'm never going back to church again. Church people are hypocrites. Church people are mean. Well, some church people are hypocrites, and some church people are mean, and all of us can be hypocritical at times, and
sure,
we can be mean at times. But a person that walks with God is not going to be that way. They struggle with selfishness. We all do. But when you meet a person that really loves the Lord and walks with God, and the sweet aroma, the knowledge of Him is really on that person's life, there's a difference.
Well, I think back to what you just said about people can get turned off and just view all of Christianity based on the behavior patterns or actions of just a handful. And I think a good way to illustrate just, for lack of a better word, the silliness of that concept is that if you were to go to a doctor and the doctor just had a horrible bedside manner and just really wasn't very good at his profession, he wasn't good at diagnosing your problem, that one doctor, if he tainted you to the point where you just thought, okay, forget it, I'm never going to any doctor ever again. Well, that's kind of ridiculous if you think about it, because that one doctor does not define all of medicine. And I think we do have to keep that in the forefront of our mind, that one or two bad apples don't have to spoil the whole bunch, girl, you know, to quote the song, that those those are, in most cases, those people are exceptions to the rule. They aren't the rule.
Well, it's very interesting when you think about it. So Jesus comes for his earthly ministry. Judaism is run by self-centered, self-righteous Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders, scribes, elders. Very, very few of them have a heart for God. It's just a religious machine. He comes and he is speaking against them. They're so far from what the Lord wanted them to be. And the nation of Israel had gotten so far from what the Lord intended for it to be, as a lighthouse to the nations, a lighthouse of love and truth and God's grace and God's mercy and God's compassion. But we can get like that too, where we as Christians don't resemble the Lord. And that is a terrible thing. I love what the scripture says in Psalm 69, a Psalm of David. He says, Lord, may those who wait for you not be ashamed through me, O Lord God of hosts. May those who seek you not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. I pray that a lot, and I think that a lot. Lord, I don't want anyone to see in me something that would turn them off to seeing you and seeking you and saying, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want any part of it. Now, people can get like that with truth.
Right.
And that's fine. I mean, they rejected Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. They rejected him, not because he was mean and cruel and horrible and obnoxious. It's because he spoke the truth. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. But I don't want somebody to see something in me, whether it's a bitterness or a some kind of sin in me, some kind of, frustration, anger, something that's unrighteous that would cause them to say, and that's why I don't want to be a Christian.
Right.
So there's a challenge to all of us to be genuine, and especially at home. Let's talk a little bit about home life. What have you learned in the 36 years we've been married, and all our kids are now grown and gone, but we learned a lot of lessons during that time.
We sure did. I think as I reflect back on our kids being under our roof, I think one of the main walkaways would be the significance of being a parent when they're young so that you can earn the right to be their friend when they're older. Mm-hmm. And those formative years are tough. They are draining on you physically. They are just, they're exhausting. They're just exhausting times. But if you put in the hard work with consistent discipline, mm-hmm. when those kids are six and under, it makes those growing up years just a whole lot easier. And in being a disciplinarian and in making sure that you have firm boundaries and firm rules in place, just to realize that you're not going to always be the most popular person in your home.
No.
I mean, kids don't like boundaries. I mean, they don't like them, right? I mean, they thrive within a boundary, but they're also very
pushing
that boundary constantly. And so I think one of the things that I learned early on, and I think it was somewhat easier for me than you just because of my temperament.
Right.
But that it's like, you know, I'm not budging on this. You know, if we're going to have a battle of the wills, let me tell you, I'm going to win every single time.
Yes.
You can try to come up against me and weaken me, but it just is not going to happen. And so I was not always mispopular with the girls because of that.
Right.
As they were growing up. But as they've become moms themselves and as they've grown older, they have reflected back on that and they appreciate that so much. And so I think in the culture today, we have so many parents who just want to live their lives vicariously through their kids. Mm-hmm. And that puts so much pressure on kids that they were never designed to handle.
Right.
And then they just want to, you know, be Miss Popular Parent, where I'm just the most cool parent out of everybody.
Right.
It's like, hey, to be a disciplinarian and really be as in the role of a mom, you're not going to be Miss Popular. That's not going to be your label.
No, and if you're a permissive parent, you're hurting your kids.
Yes.
You may not see that, but you are hurting your kids.
Yeah.
And we live in a world today where kids are telling their parents, hey, I think I'm supposed to be a girl. A little boy is supposed to be a girl. A little girl is supposed to be a boy. That's where a parent comes in and says, you are who God made you to be, and we are going to help you be the person God wants you to be. And we're not entertaining any of this idiocy. That's just the formula for disaster and destruction if you start to give in to those weird ideas.
Well, and to not compromise the Word of God to make the situation easier in that moment.
Right.
You know, I think that's another big lesson, is that you have to take the long look. Anytime you are only taking the short look in a situation, you are just grossly increasing the chances of you making horrible decisions.
Right.
It's the long look that's important. And so I can remember even just small behaviors. Like, you would be like, Debbie, just go give him a bottle. We've got to get some sleep. It's like, no. We've got to think long term on this. If we just continue to go in there when they're crying and they don't learn to self-soothe, we're going to be creating little monsters, you know? And so it's hard, because the easy thing to do is to go in and just give them a bottle right then, so that you can get some sleep. But you have to take the long look. And that goes through all of their growing up years, not just those younger years. It's the long look, behavior patterns, character traits that you want to instill in your children. Those aren't developed one and done. Those are over the course of time. And you have to take the long look with those.
Let's talk about things you've learned about friendships and maybe the sting of betrayal, and when people bail out on you when you thought they were good friends and they're not good friends.
Right.
Some friends are friends for life, and we praise the Lord for those. And then some friends are seasonal friends. They're really good friends for a time. And then some friends, you thought they were lifelong friends, and they just aren't. So how have you dealt with that?
Those are very difficult, hurtful situations, and I think, coming from the vantage point of being an only child, I think that has put a particular different slant maybe on how I view things, because I have always longed for those close relationships because I didn't have them in terms of having siblings. And so I think as a result, I have been more disillusioned maybe when friends that I thought were real close, lifelong trench friends have kind of, I found out that they're not that.
Right.
And that has probably taken I've taken a deeper hit with that maybe because of just my wiring. But I've learned that God sees you through that. Mm-hmm. And God gives you wisdom to deal with that. You take that hurt to the Lord. You grieve it, because it is very hurtful and it's very painful. It's very disillusioning. It's very disappointing. But you take all of that to the Lord, and you claim that He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is never going to do that to me. And it's a good reminder that I don't want to be that kind of person either.
No.
It's a hard lesson, and I don't know that you ever completely conquer it. You know, I don't think that you ever get to a point where it's like, okay, that's happened to me, and I've learned from all these other times that it's happened, and it doesn't hurt. No, it always hurts. It always stings.
Right. It hurt Jesus when
it, absolutely,
and He knew it was coming.
Right. Yeah, but just like you said, not every friend is a lifelong trench friend. If you look at the life of Jesus, He had the multitudes, He had the 12, He had the 3. He had the garden friends. And so I think the message to me in that is that through the course of my life, I'm not going to have multitudes of trench friends.
Right.
You know, I can have multitudes of acquaintances and good friends. I can have maybe a group of 12 that are even closer. But when it comes to the nitty gritty in the garden people, I'm probably only going to have a handful, and even those are going to fall asleep sometime. They're not going to be awake for me every time I need them.
Right.
And so that's why that friendship with the Lord is the most important.
Amen. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, And whenever somebody said, what is a real friend? It's when everyone walks out, your real friend walks in. And the Lord is always there for us. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. David had all his men bail on him. They were talking about stoning him one day in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Paul said, at my first offense, no one supported me, all deserted me, but the Lord was with me and he strengthened me. He stood with me. And so that is such a great promise that we have from Scripture. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm talking to my wife, Debbie. It's her birthday today, number 60, which is a big one, but she's handling it well, and we're talking about the things that we've learned over the years as God has taught us and grown us. And so we are going to take your calls in the next segment. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you and talk about the things that we have learned that you have learned. Don't go away.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We heard on American Family Radio about the opportunity to participate in a charitable gift annuity. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, Riley, Chelsea, and their crew that they work with, and they were very caring, very easy to work with, and with no pressure whatsoever. They guided us through the process and made it a very easy thing to do.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm talking to my wife. It is her birthday today. Debbie is 60 years old, and we're talking about things that we have learned, that she has learned during her 60 years on the earth. David said in Psalm 37, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Debbie is not old by any stretch of the imagination.
That's correct.
But she has seen the Lord's faithfulness in her life over these 60 years. Been a Christian since you were 12.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Walking with God very closely since you're about 22.
Probably, yeah, 22, yeah.
And when you really made the decision,
it was a real recommitment time for me.
Yes, and when you really recommitted your life to the Lord and made commitments about dating and standards and all that, within 6 months, I came along.
Mr. Wonderful, here he is.
Mr. Wonderful.
That's right.
George O'Leary. Well, Debbie, we've been talking about the things that you have learned, and we're opening up the phone lines, 1-888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about things the Lord has taught you in your time on the earth. And so, Debbie, as we think about different aspects of life, let's talk about dealing with disappointments and tragedies in life, because you lost your mom at a young age.
Right.
She was only 54, and you were early 30s. And,
right.
And
I was
then
32.
And then you lost your dad not terribly long.
Seven years after that.
Right.
So I was 39 when I lost my dad.
Yeah, and being an only child, that's really being, you lose your...
Well, and I had really, to some extent, lost my dad before my mom's death, because my dad had a massive, massive stroke, which just changed him so dramatically. And it wasn't all changes for the worse. Some of those changes were changes for the better. He was a lot more open and loving and more childlike and more approachable than he had been all the rest of my life. But I had still lost him. Like, he didn't share memories with
right.
me necessarily anymore.
Right. And you lost your grandparents. And
lost
so
my grandparents.
Everything connected to your childhood was kind of
wiped out in like a 7-year period.
That's pretty difficult to
deal
with.
Yes, it was a lot.
So how did you get through that?
Well, I remember a couple of things that I learned in all of that is the need to grieve and to not stuff those feelings, to recognize that not everybody grieves the same, not everyone grieves at the same pace. And more than anything, the more significant lesson that I learned in all of that was, when you are going through a tragedy, when you are experiencing a loss, when your heart has just been ripped open, stomped on, and spit on, is that you're not going to feel like that forever.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that you're walking through, you know, but God leads you through that.
Right.
So even in the midst of those times when your heart is so heavy and you're just not feeling any joy and you're just walking around with just these heavy, heavy burdens of loss that are on you and you're grieving those, to realize that there is going to come a day when your heart is light. You are going to be able to laugh again.
Right.
You are going to be able to go about the business of life, going to a movie, going out to lunch, going out to dinner. And you're going to have a light heart again. You're not going to always be with that level of heaviness upon you. And that was big for me because, like I said earlier, I had so much loss in such a relatively short amount of time. And so that was a significant lesson that I learned in the midst
right.
of all of that, that, hey, things are not going to always be like this.
No, and you can't get stuck in
the
tragedy and stuck in the grief. You know, grief has a cycle, and then, you know, you have to, they mourned for Moses. In the book of Joshua, the Lord told Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and cross the Jordan."
Well, and God leaves you here to live, not to be dead. If he wanted you dead, he would have taken you home.
Right.
You know, and so that it's okay to be happy again, to free yourself up, to not feel guilty because you're not still mourning or that you're not still sad, you know, but to free yourself up to live the life that God left you here to live.
Right.
And that's an abundant life that he left you here to live, not one where you're just walking around in sackcloth and ashes and just so sad all the time. There's a time for that, absolutely, but you don't get a prize for being the best mourner. You know, I mean, and for just carrying that burden of just being so sad all the time. I mean, that's just not the abundant life that God came to provide for you.
Yeah, and it's normal and natural when tragedy strikes.
Oh, absolutely.
To hurt.
Right.
And to cry and to feel that. But that doesn't have to be the rest of your life.
And by going on with your life and living your life and having joy in your life, that doesn't mean that you've forgotten that person.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they've been wiped out of your memory bank or that you don't still have such love and affection for them, that you don't still feel that loss, because you do. But you just, like you said, you just can't get stuck there.
Right. So David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. He was going through the valley. He wasn't building a house in the valley.
Right.
So you can't build your house in the valley. And you have to remember Romans 15:13, that God is a God of hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have contended for a long time that people who commit suicide, the reason they commit suicide is they don't see that there's any hope. There's no hope for a better tomorrow. Life stinks. Everything is terrible. My life is over. I just need to end it all. And you can't think like that, because God is the God of hope. And the Lord wants to fill your heart with joy and peace in believing, and as you trust him. And so we know that we have listeners that are going through hard times. Mm-hmm. You know, I was taught early on in seminary, in every pew, there's a broken heart. If
Absolutely.
You preach to broken hearts, you'll always have an audience, because people need to hear a word of hope and encouragement from the Lord, especially when they're hurting. Well, we have Terry from Mississippi on the line. Terry, go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Yeah. Thank you for this time today, and thank you for how you're sharing with people. Yeah, basically my story that I wanted to share is, of course, I am a Baptist minister. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I get a little choked up. Back in 2012, I had colon cancer, and, you know, I realized that I was taking the Lord's grace for granted, what he did for me, and I was just sort of settling along and not very committed in my walk with the Lord. God began to speak to me. I got to thinking, well, I may not live, when they told me I had colon cancer. Well, basically, they did the surgery, got 18 inches of my bottom colon, and did all the blood work, checked the lymph nodes, said I was cancer-free. And I didn't have to have any treatments, anything. I got a new perspective on life. God wants my life to be devoted to him, and not taking for granted his grace and his mercy that he gives to me every day. And every day I've got a new lease on life, a new look on life that I never had before. And if I hadn't had that trial, if God hadn't got my attention that way, I never would realize how precious the chance to share his word and to be his witness is. So just pray for me that I continue to be what the Lord would have me to be every day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Terry. And I'm glad to hear that the Lord's brought you through, but more importantly, that he taught you something. You know, it's in the hard times that we learn lessons that we wouldn't learn any other place in any other way. And so may God use you in great ways, Terry, with the time that he has appointed for you to have left on this earth. May he use you as a grateful faithful servant, and as you preach the gospel to many, many people.
I remember Jeff telling you in the midst of kind of coming out of one of a hard time physically that I had had after a surgery, that it's in those hard times, like you said, that we do learn the very most. That's when so often that's when God, we sense His presence more than any other time. And as I look back, it's like, hey, I wouldn't want to go through that again. You know, that hardship, I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Right.
Because of what I learned from it, and just how my relationship with the Lord deepened so much, my knowledge of my complete reliance on Him was just really brought to the forefront, and wouldn't want to walk that valley again, but wouldn't trade it for anything.
Right. You know, I talk to pastors that go through hard times. I have a good friend of mine right now that's being sued and by members of his church. It's just awful. And I was talking to a mutual friend, and I said, regardless of what that guy did or didn't do or what he's being accused of, I just feel for any pastor that has to face that because that is awful. And, you know, to stand up and preach, and you know, when you're hurting, when you're wounded, very, very difficult to do. And so I think we're living in a day and age, you know, in the last days difficult times will come. 2 Timothy 3:1, and we're living in the difficult times, and it's hard to be a pastor in today's world. It's hard to be a Christian that really stands up and speaks up for Jesus, because the world is really coming hard against the Bible-believing, sold-out Christian, and we know that we're going to get shot at, and we're going to get vilified, we're going to be called haters and all kinds of other names, and, you know, Neanderthals, how do you believe this, you know, God created the world in 6 days. God destroyed the world with a flood. Noah built a boat. You know, you have a read in Genesis 3. There's a talking snake. All that. They try and make you feel like an idiot for believing the Bible. Well, I like what the scripture says in the book of Romans. Let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. And so, listen, Christian, you stand on the word of God. It's okay to say when someone asks you a question that we don't have the answer for, or you don't have the answer for, I don't know, but I'll try and find out. God doesn't tell us everything in His Word. Job had lots of questions when the tragedy struck his life, and the Lord didn't answer his questions.
Right.
The old song, Debbie, says, when answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to our prayer. And the Lord is saying to us in the good times, in the bad times, in the in-between times, my child, just trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. You don't have the capacity to know what I know. I've shared before that we have a little teacup, and we bring it to the Pacific Ocean, and God's understanding and knowledge is like the Pacific Ocean, and our understanding and knowledge is like a teacup, and we demand answers from the Lord, and His answer is, you wouldn't understand it if I explained it to you. You don't have the capacity to understand this, so why don't you just trust me? I know what I'm doing, and I will see you through no matter what you're facing in life. Well, we have just a couple more minutes, and we've been having a great time talking about what we have learned, what Debbie has learned over 60 years on this earth, and it is a special day. Now, Debbie told me when we first got married, she said, listen, when we have a special day, anniversary, Christmas, birthday, Groundhog's Day, any kind of special day.
St. Patrick's Day.
I want a gift.
That's right.
And so I'm not the best at gift giving, but
you've done really well though the last few years, but you have a good helper.
Yes, my middle daughter Amy is really connected to Debbie, so she, I always just call Amy, you got to help me. I got to get your mom something that she would like. But a lot of it too is, it's not so much the gift, it's the thought
that comes behind
it. And so a lot of guys aren't good with the thought. And so we just get something quickly, and we need to be thinking about it. Guys, let me encourage you to make notes about what your wife likes, and then you can get those things for her later on down the road, and she will say, wow, you were listening to me, because women like to be listened to. Your wife likes you to listen to her. So, Debbie, we have 30 seconds. Anything more you'd like to say?
I think I would just want to capitalize on what you said about time, and that is that we don't get to redeem it. We don't get it back. And so to just make the most of every day and to live it fully, committed to the Lord, to love those that are you have the privilege of loving, and to look for the joy of the Lord in everything and in every situation.
Amen. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Remember, as you go out today, shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.